Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Portia, Terrence, and Kalila, they have a crazy brother that they grew up when they were in San Ramon growing up, and his name is Pete. And you're going to come up as he says. But anyhow, Pete is wild. He's crazy. He rides a motorcycle. He should be dead like four times already. Back when he was a teenager, he was in a motorcycle accident, and he was given a 1% chance to live. And Portia's, my father-in-law, and their entire church fasted and prayed. He was their neighbor out in San Ramon, and they prayed, and God raised Pete up from the dead. But you know what? Pete is still half crazy. He loves Jesus, but how many guys got some crazy? You love Jesus, but he still has some stupidity. Pete, if you're watching me, I love you. But anyhow, I want Kalila to share what happened to Pete again.
So I was reading this book from David Hogan. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's like an awesome man of God. He raises the dead like it's just for breakfast, you know, people dead for a week, a month, he'll go and raise them up. And so he's just a mighty man of God. But I was reading his book, and he said, and there was a part where he talked about he's miraculously transported from place to place without the aid of planes, trains, or automobiles. He's just miraculously transported. So he goes and he tells this story about how he went. He didn't physically go because he was preaching somewhere else, and he got a phone call from someone in another country to thank him for coming and for providing truckloads of food for their village that lasted him like 6 months. And he was like looking at his phone like, are you sure you got the right person? Because when did you say I was there? So he looked at his calendar and he was like, no, I never was there. I was in this country, you know, I never came to your part yet. I never made it there. Then he said, no, stop being modest. You came here. You preached the word of God. You performed miracles. You fed, you know, everybody. And he said, no, I was never there. And so he said, well, I'm going to send you this picture to prove that you were there. And he was just blown away. He was like, well, that's definitely me. And he saw himself in the truck handing people food. And I was like, God, I said to myself, how powerful is that? And I told my sister, God, can you imagine being somewhere and you never left your house or you never and people are calling you? I said, I would love that. I said, that's just crazy. I would love for the Lord to use my face like that and get a call. That was several months ago. And then last Saturday, Pete Wooten, my crazy white boy neighbor, who is just a daredevil. We call him Evel Knievel. Because he would just be riding his skateboards, jumping off the ramp. He got on his motorcycle at 100 miles an hour. He went and wrecked and went over a cliff. And that's when they said he only had 1% chance to live. And when he lived, when he woke up and everything and got home, he was still paralyzed from the waist down. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. He came over to our house and he told us that he loved us. He told my dad, I just want to say, I came over to say goodbye to you. And I just want you to know that I'm going home to kill myself right now because I can't live my life like this. I'm not going to be a paralegic. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And my dad said, I'll tell you right now that God loves you, Pete. God loves you, and he's willing to perform a miracle just so you know he was real, because Pete didn't believe in God. And he said, if you believe, what do you got to lose, Pete? If you go home and you ask the Lord in your life, Pete, if you would just give him a chance, what do you got to lose? I'm asking you for one day just to believe God. And if he is real, he will prove himself to you. My dad said, I'm so confident that he will heal you that if he don't, I won't preach anymore. Because that's not the God I know. Pete went home. We didn't know if he blew his brains out or not. But the next day he came, we was like, thank God. You know, we was praying for him all night. The next day he came over walking into our front door, walking. He was like, God is real. He healed me just like you said, James. But last weekend, he texts my phone through Messenger on Facebook, and he says, I flipped 5 times in my car off a cliff, and the angel came and pulled me out. And he says, "You're my angel. I just want to say I love you guys." And I said, "Oh my God, Pete, what happened? You know, are you okay?" And everything. He said, "I saw you pull me out of the car and carry me back up the embankment." And I said, "Wait a minute, what? You saw who?" And he says, "I saw you come and pull me out of the car and carry me back up the embankment. And you said, 'Pete, I love you,' and you left. And the police are still trying to figure out how I made it out the car, because the car was flipped all the way over and it was still on its side. No windows or door was broken out. The doors would not open. The windows were not broken out. They said, 'Pete, how did you get out of the car? We're trying to open the doors and they're both jammed. How did you get out?' He said, 'The angel of the Lord came and got me.' And he said, 'I saw you. You was there telling me.' I said, 'Are you sure it was me, Pete?' He said, 'I saw you. You stayed there with me the whole time. You got me out. You pulled me and you carried me up the embankment and you laid me on the side of the road.' Blew me away. I couldn't do nothing but lift my hands and cry out to God. How mindful of He is, and how glorious He is, how wonderful He is, just to save your life. You never know what God is using you for. Even when you're here, you never know what your faith, where your faith is. You never know. Just because you're here don't mean that God cannot transport you somewhere else to do His will, to do His business. So I just want to say, be encouraged. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing, absolutely nothing, 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 nothing is too difficult for our God. I just want to say that I can verify that story. The only part that she got a little mixed up was that my dad went to the junkyard and he said, "I'm going to get this car and I'm going to fix this car. And by the time I finish this car, you will be walking." It took my dad a whole year to finish that car, but Pete was walking. The thing about the story is, Pete went back to the hospital and the doctor said, "There's no way." And they x-rayed him again. And they said, "Yep, it's no way medically possible that you still should be walking." But yet he is. Yet he is walking. And I want you to know, if you doubt this story, my sister has a video of the car being overturned on her phone, so you can see that our God still does miracles. Amen.
Come on. I heard that story, and you know what I did? I took out my phone and I started looking up car wrecks in San Luis Obispo because I wanted to. And I, sure enough, I found it. How many say I believe, but help my unbelief? Come on. Help my unbelief. Come on. That's right. I did. And so sure enough, it was right there. And it's not that I didn't doubt Pete, but I said, "I want to see it." And then she has the video of them with the tow truck pulling the car up the embankment and a picture of Pete, and he's bruised up and now he's not bruised up. And I says, "Wow, thank you, Jesus." So if you're here today and you feel like you're in a season of maybe you're just feeling discouraged in some way, I want you to remember a time in your life that you went through a difficult season and God brought you through. Come on. I want to remind you today, church, remind yourself, because you know what? Sometimes we forget. We have spiritual amnesia, and how easily we forget that. I don't know about you, but I remember when I first got saved, I was a mess. I was a hot mess, and I had to struggle. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, "I want to remind you of the struggle you went through." And sometimes we get in times of pain and struggle and seasons, and it's challenging, it's difficult, even the season we may be in right now. But I want to remind you to put your hope back in God. And remember that if God brought you through before, He will do it again. He will do it again. And so don't define yourself and your life by what you're dealing with right now. Do not define your entire future by the current season that you're in. Define your future in the faithfulness of God and in the promise of God. Define your future and says, "Lord, you're good." Come on. Define your future in the word of God and the promise of God and His faithfulness to you. And if you don't have a testimony, come, we'll talk to you, will preach to you, will preach a faith, a testimony into you that the Lord is good. He's good. He's good. He's gracious. You know, today as we were worshiping, I felt like there, we don't realize, but there's a battle in heaven for your worship. There's how many know that if you know the Bible, you read the Bible, in the beginning, there was a war over worship. And even in our lives, we can come into a place in our season and you got to fight to stay in a place of worship. You have to fight that worship is not something that we just do here on Sunday morning or wherever we are, or Wednesday night, or if you gather in a small group. No, it's your life and it's the health, because you're created to worship. You're created for intimacy. You're created to have relationship with God. Not out of duty and drudgery. No, it comes very natural. It should come very natural. How many know Jesus didn't have to walk around and say, am I the Son of God? Jesus didn't have an identity crisis, but the devil wanted to give him one. Remember the story when Jesus came out of the wilderness and he was fasting and praying. And what did the devil say to him? He says, if you are the Son of God. How many know that's the voice of the liar, of the snake that wants us to doubt our identity? And so serving God and being a part of the family of God is not something that you shouldn't have to strive to do. Now you are in a battle, you are in a war, because your flesh wants to dominate you. But your spirit man wants to rise above your flesh and cause us to walk in victory and clarity. Paul told the Galatians, he says, why have you begun in the spirit, but now you're trying to live it out in the flesh? Come on, can you ask yourself? Some of us, how many of you guys were born in the fire? Come on. You, when you got saved and you got born again, when you were born by God, by the word of God and the will of God, how many know there was some tumultuous times? It wasn't all rosy, right? There was some fire. How many guys were born in the fire? Come on, you are born in the fire. How many of you guys, you know what I'm talking about? Women that have given birth, you know when you are pushing that baby out, there is fire going on. There is some fire. It's not all peaceful and cold and rosy. No, no. There is some heat. There is some sweat. There is some pain. There is some pushing. There is some, can I hear it? Fire. Say fire. So us being born in the fire, why are we trying to live in the smoke? We have to, come on. So it's in the time of the fire. And Paul said that to the Galatians. He says, you being born by the Spirit, why are you trying to live it out in the flesh? And you say, Pastor Steve, well, what are you talking about? Because our theme for the month is house church. Is house church. Is being just naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. Jesus, how many know that Jesus was naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural? And that's how you and I are called to be, that a supernatural life will be natural to us and it'll be natural to be supernatural. But a lot of us, come on, how many lives we want to control? We want to be in the natural. We want to control it. And there's nothing wrong with things in the natural being in order. We need our natural. So you say, Pastor Steve, what are you preaching about? Get your house in order. Come on, how many of you guys think about your house? How many know your house is a hot mess right now? Some of it. Come on, you're natural. Maybe you're spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, think about that closet. I can think about my closet. And things that we cram in, and even through this lockdown with this pandemic, maybe you've, how many guys just like to hoard? I have someone in my family, I won't say their name, but they don't like, I know that I'm known as the throwaway king. I like to throw things away. Can I get a witness? Okay, now how many hoarders do we have? How many hoarders do we have? Pat, boy, she's pointing at you, Pat. Okay, how many guys have it difficult? You like to just hold on to stuff. I'm that way too. I know my wife, we're opposite. She likes to hold on to things. I will throw anything away. I mean, just, but not that I'm the most organized or structured, but how many say it's time to throw some excess baggage away? Come on, how many say you've been carrying some excess baggage? Come on, your spiritual life, your spiritual man, you've been carrying around some excess weight. Isn't it amazing when it's time to move or clean up? You're like, how did we get all this stuff? Come on, how did I get all this junk, right? Now, you didn't think it was junk when you got it, but it just stayed around, okay? So it's time for us to clean our spiritual houses and even clean our natural houses. And please don't bring your junk to the church. I do have a dumpster in the back because we're cleaning up. But isn't it interesting that when it's time to do some renovations and some rebuilding, how many guys have ever started a project you wanted to paint your bedroom or paint the house or do something? What do you have to do? Usually you got to clean up. You got to clean it up. Say, come on, say, it's time for me to clean up. And the Holy Ghost is going to help us. He's going to help us. It's interesting, in the book of Jeremiah, it says that Jeremiah was a prophet, and before he planted and he built and he prophesied about the future, it says that he tore down, he destroyed, he uprooted, and he threw away. We don't preach that part. We like the part about the building. But if you look about Jeremiah and the prophet and his prophetic ministry, how many say there's some things that need to be torn down, they need to be uprooted, they need to be thrown away so that we can build and we can plant? And that's what we want as we go through this season of talking about house church, because you're the church, your body, your house, your being. Everybody touch yourself, slap yourself. Okay, your body, your spirit, your soul, your body. You are the image of God. You are the house of God. And so Scripture says that it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And so it's not a mystery to hear His voice. It shouldn't be a mystery. You shouldn't say, how do I hear the voice of God? Shut up. Read the Bible. Somebody said, I want to hear God's voice. I can't hear. Someone said, read the Bible. He says, I still can't hear His voice. Someone said, read the Bible out loud. Then you can hear yourself. Come on, how many guys have to hear yourself speak? Come on, someone said, I gotta say what I see. Or I got to say what I hear so I can see what I say. Come on, so you got to declare it. You got to declare the word of God and say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. And it's not something that you have to do. One thing I despise in some way is that it's not a burden to serve the Lord. It's not a burden to gather as we're gathering today, because this is scriptural and it's biblical. It's not something that I have to do. No, it's something that I get to do. I get to see my brothers and sisters. I get to see your smiley faces. I get to encourage you. You get to encourage me. I get to be in His presence. I get to have His love letter, His word to me. And so it's not something that we have to do. We get to do. That's why Scripture says in Psalm 100, it says to serve God with gladness. Serve Him with thanksgiving. Don't do it out of drudgery. How in here you have to do? You do something and you come. Who in here you've ever had chores to do when you were a kid? Come on, think back when you had chores. Come on, how many of you guys hated your chores? Come on, raise your hand. You hated your chores. I mean, my mother had to bribe me that she had to pay me 50 cents to wash out the bathtub, because that's how lazy I was. I know there's no lazy teenagers or kids here, but come on. You know what I'm talking about? But you despise your chores. You despise having to do your duty. But that's part of life, is that what we get to build ourselves spiritually. And so today, as we were worshiping, I felt like there was a battle in the heavens, because there's a battle for our worship. But do you remember the story in 2 Kings? There's a story in 2 Kings, and Elisha was with his servant, and the servant saw the enemy surrounding them, and the servant was afraid and full of fear and felt like their life was over, their future was over. They felt like the enemy was greater than what they were going through, and the servant was terrified. And Elisha just said this. He prayed a prayer and he said, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he would see. Come on, can you pray that prayer with me? Say, Lord, put your hand upon your head, your forehead, and say, Lord, open my eyes, Lord, and let me see into your word. Lord, let me see into the heaven. Lord, let me see into your law of liberty. Let me see that. And what did he see? That there were twice as many chariots of fire that surrounded the enemy than what the servant saw. And when he prayed that prayer, he saw a new and different perspective and vision. And even today, as we are worshiping, church, I want to encourage you, know that greater is God that is for you than he that is against you. That more are they that are with you than when. So don't feel like, oh, I'm in despair, I'm going to lose it, I can't make it through. David said, I would have fainted, I would have lost heart, I would have lost courage unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on, you got to say, you have to remind yourself. You have to say, Lord, you're good. You're good. You're with me. You're for me. And I am your servant. And I'm not just your servant. I'm your son. And I'm not just a son, but I'm a royal son. All of you to hear today, and how easily we forget, because we don't feel like we're royalty. We don't feel like, well, if I'm that way, then why is this happening, or why are these challenges happening in my life? There is a contradiction. But how many know that the Lord is building you? He's building your character. He's building your spirit, man. Think about Jesus, who was the Son. Think about Mary, who carried Jesus. She had a lot of contradictions. She could have said, man, God, if I'm your chosen vessel, why do I got to ride this stupid donkey, this stupid mule all the way? And I'm 8 months pregnant. Come on, she could have said, God, it should be a little bit easier since I'm your servant and I'm carrying your son, God. Come on, how many guys get a little attitude with God? Just me, just Pastor Steve. You like say, Lord, why and what? But as God is building our house, he's building us up. He's building us and causing us to walk that, Lord, let me just know you. Let me walk with you in the cool of the day as Adam did. Let it not be something that I strive to know you and know your voice and to hear you. Otherwise, it's just duty. It's just religion. It's just external. But it has to be something that's real. It's a heart. It's just like every moment that you breathe. That's why Paul said it's him that we live and move and have our being. Because it says Jesus, God, is not way out in the blue yonder. He says, no, he's really, really close to us. He said he's just like you breathing. Just like you breathe in air. That's how close. That's what the apostle Paul wrote in Acts chapter 17 when he was talking to this people. And so what are you trying to say, Pastor Steve? That I want us, Encounter Church, I want us to grow in our relationship with Christ in a new way. And it's going to cause us to sacrifice. It's going to cause us to die out to our flesh. It's going to cause us to die out so that the life of his spirit and the life of his word can take greater place in our heart. We have to welcome him. We have to want him. We have to make room for him. You know why? Because there's enough things that we feed on and we fill ourselves up. I can think about areas in my life. I have 27 I downloaded, and not that I'm going to read you 27, but there's 27 points to a cleaner house. And I read some of them, and then one thing it said, one of them was keep a clean shelf or a clean drawer and don't put anything in it. That was one suggestion for keeping I thought about my life. Is there an area in my life where I have a clean shelf or an open drawer without putting anything else of this world or anything external in there? Have I reserved that and say, Lord, this is for you. This is the most precious part of my life, and I'm not going to allow anything else to be there. I'm not going to allow anything else to take that place, because that place in my life is a holy place. It's a part that belongs to you. I'm not going to allow the clutter of life to get and fill that place and drive out. Why? Because you are number one, and you are first in my life. And I love you, and I want to make room for you. How many know that the wise men, when they came and they saw Jesus, they brought him gifts. And they had to say, Lord, we want you. They did something to go after God. They said, you know, there's something about this young boy. There's something about the prophetic word. There's something about this new king that we are going to do something, that we are going to travel. We are going to sacrifice. We are going to give just so we can get to a place and fall down on our knees and in our face and open up our treasure box and worship. They had, think about these men that traveled to go sing, and Jesus wasn't a little baby. He was a young when they get there, but it cost them something. There was sacrifice. There was energy. There was time. There was money. And there was treasure. And how much more in our life to get to that place in God where it's naturally that we worship the King out of a natural flow, and that we love Him. And we don't say, oh, I gotta be with Jesus. You know, my wife would probably slap me if I said to her, I gotta love you. Or vice versa. Now, she wouldn't literally slap, but come on now. And so, no, we get to be in love. Come on now. Right? We get to be part of Him. Now, the scripture in John chapter 1, we know this, but I'm going to declare it. It says, Jesus was in the beginning. He was the Word. And you and I were born by the Word of God. And we were born by the will of God. So you and I are here today because God bore you again by His Word and by His Spirit. He puts His Spirit inside of us. That's what makes us supernatural people, is that the Lord God Almighty puts His Spirit back inside of us. We are the only ones in the world that God has redeemed. That's what makes it, is God puts His Spirit inside of you. He puts His Spirit inside of you. He gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and it bears you again, or makes you alive again. And so it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, through Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Can you think about this? Everything that you and I enjoy comes from God. Just look around. Look at that car right there. All that metal on that car came from God's earth. Those tires, most of it, unless it's synthetic. The house you live in, the wood that built your house or apartment, or wherever you live, that wood grew from God's trees. Everything that you and I enjoy in the natural came from God. The money that you have, the food that you eat, the family that you were born, everything in life. And how easily we forget as people that we owe God everything. We owe God our life. You owe God your breath. God doesn't come. So I'm only going to give you some breath on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, you better get an oxygen tank. No, God doesn't do us like that. Come on, God's abundant in mercy. And it says, without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Him is life. Can you say that? Say, in Jesus, there's life. And His life is the light of mankind. And I love this verse. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. I'll declare that really loud. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend the light. And you are the light. And so God says to shine in darkness. Sometimes we give too much power to the devil. We give too much power to the darkness. All you have to do is light a candle and darkness will go. All you have to do is flip a switch and you say, let there be light, and darkness flees. And so today we declare, let there be light over our lives. Let there be light over our families. Let there be light over this city, over the Bay Area, over the nations. We declare as the people of God, let there be light, and let there be love. For Your love surrounds us. Your love, even as Your word says, to know Your love, it surpasses our understanding. It says to know the height and the depth and the length and the width. Come on. Ephesians chapter 3 or 4, to know His love, the height of His love, and the length of His love, the depth of His love, the width, the breadth. That's the cross. And it says His love, it surpasses our understanding. Slap yourself in your hand and say, carnal mind, get out of here. Come on, you cannot understand the love of God in your carnality, in your natural man. You understand the love of God through the Spirit. You understand it through the Spirit, man. And even as Jesus told the woman, he says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So come on, say, Lord, let my spirit man come alive today. Lay your hand on your stomach. Say, Lord, let my spirit man be alive. Quicken my spirit man. Let me live from the inside out. Let me live by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by the power of my flesh. Let not my natural man, let not my natural faculties dominate me. But let my spirit man dominate me. Let my spirit man be in control. Let the word of God rule my life and my steps. Order my steps in your word. Order my mouth, my tongues, even as you said, Lord, let the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. And so here it is, Jesus, he shines in the darkness. He was and is the true light that gives light to every man that comes into the world. And it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. Did not know him. Come on. What is our cry today? Is that we know him. We know him. That our life knows the King, that he knows us. That's what Paul said. Paul was the, we know who Paul was. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew. He had the greatest education. He was a Pharisee. He memorized the entire first five books of the Bible. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But even at the end of his life, when he was in prison, locked up, he says that I might know him. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, that I might attain to his likeness. What is our cry? Is to be more like Jesus. Come on, that our lives would be more like Jesus. That this house, come on, put your hand on your chest, say, this house, my house, my house. Lord, you don't dwell in temples made with hands. Lord, you dwell in temples of humanity. Lord, in that my temple, my house, would make room for you. I would make room for you in my flesh. I'd make room for you in my soul, in my mind, and in my emotions, and in my will. That I'd make room for you in my spirit. Lord, that this house church, this house that you're creating, that, Lord, wherever we walk, wherever we go today, even as we leave this place later, Lord, that we would be carriers of your love and carriers of your presence, Lord, and that whoever would come in contact with us would encounter Jesus, that they would encounter the love, they would encounter the peace, Lord, and they would encounter your countenance. And it says that the world didn't know him, and he came to his own people in the natural, and he came to them, but they didn't receive him. They didn't want him. They didn't really look for him. They were like, we want you to come another way. Come on, some of us, we have that before God. How many of you guys boss God around? Maybe just Pastor Steve. We order him around. God, if you're God, you should do this. God, you should do that. And so the children of Israel, when Jesus came, they thought the Messiah was going to come and just destroy all their enemies with power and just destroy them. And they were looking for a Jesus to come and kill people. But that wasn't the Jesus that came, no. And so it says, when Jesus came, it says, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, as many that wanted him, and that's the same word for you and I. You have to want him. You have to want him. You have to receive him. You have to say, Jesus, it's not enough for me to be saved 2 years ago or last week or last month. No, today I want you. Today I'll receive you. Today I make room in my heart. Today I need to hear your voice. Today I don't have yesterday. I don't have tomorrow. Today I have you. And it says, as many as receive him. Come on, how many of you say, Pastor Steve, I want to receive him right now. It says, to them he gives power. Power, power to become like him. How many of you now say, Pastor Steve, I need some power in my life? Pastor Steve, both of Pastor Steve's hands are up. I need power. Power to die. Power to be humble. Power to submit. power to say yes, power to yield, power to love, power to be like Christ. Because what we see around us in the natural is a world full of lust and anger and turmoil, injustice. And if we're looking at that, no, but the light of the love of God will shine so that our world can know the love of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would what? Would believe, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so today we says, you know what, Lord? Thank you for the Son. Come on, thank you for the Son. Lord, let the Son shine bright in my life today. Shine bright in my world today. As many as received, he gave the right and the power to become the children of God to those that believe in his name. And I love this verse. And it says this, those that were not born by the natural man, they were not born by the will of man, they were not born by man, but they were born by God. Don't you realize to be born by God, anything that is born of God overcomes the world. Even our faith. Come on, even our faith is going to overcome the world. Those of you who have your Bible, turn with me real quick. I'm going to come to a close here. I know you're hot. I know I'm screaming at you. I know it, but that's okay. You look beautiful. Turn in your electronic Bible, your phone, quick Bible, whatever you have, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It talks about being born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, for you have been born again. Aren't you thankful? Come on, that God can make you over again even today. Come on, because all those that are in Christ, what? The old is gone and the new is come. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation, a new creature. The old is gone and the new is come. But it says this, you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. This is from the New Living Translation. For your new life will last forever. Your life will last forever. That's why you don't retire from this. That's why some people are like, I can't wait till I retire. I'm never going to retire. I'm just going to be translated. Okay? You get retreaded. Okay? It says your life will last forever because it comes from the eternal. It comes from that which is not seen. How much do we live by what is seen? We live by the natural so much. But it's, come on, we know this, that we walk by faith and not by sight. It says our life will last for eternal. It comes from the eternal. It comes from the living word of God. As the scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Aren't you thankful that the word of God endures forever? And you and I, even as the scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why that eternal word is living inside of you, and it's going to be with you forever. Keep reading. Go to chapter 2. And so it says this. It says, get rid of something. You have to do something. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to preach all my verses. But in the book of Timothy, it says this. It says, the foundation of God stands sure. We're talking about building. My dad was a carpenter. And even as we're doing work, how many of you know the most important part of a building is the foundation? You could have a nice house. Carlos knows this. But if you have a weak foundation, or you have a foundation that lacks integrity or it lacks strength, then that, didn't Jesus say that in Matthew chapter 7? He says, whoever hears these words and these sayings of mine, I will liken to them as a wise man that built their house upon a rock. It says that the storms came and the floods came, But whoever hears my words and my sayings and doesn't do them, they are going to be like a fool that built their house upon the sand. So whether you like it or not, you're building your house. I'm building my house. You're building my life. Your life is your house, and you're building it. And you decide whether you build it on the sand or you build it on the stone, on the rock. Aren't you thankful that the Lord gives us the spirit of wisdom? And so in Timothy it says, the foundation of God stands for sure, and it says this, it says, and the Lord knows who are his. And I read that verse, in other words, God knows if you're a phony. God knows if you are just playing. God knows, it says no, if God knows if you're really his child. Because if you're a child, then you are not uncorrectable, put it that way. There's another word that starts with the B in the King James Version. And so when someone does not, a child is uncorrectable, then they're fatherless. And so, but children get corrected. How many say, Lord, thank you for correcting me? Come on, correct me, Pastor Cecil. I need correction. And so it says this. It says, the foundation of God stands sure, and the Lord knows those that are his. And then it says this, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from sin. It says to stop sinning. Leave it alone. Stop flirting with it. Stop playing. And then it says this. It says, why? It says, because in a great house, in a great house, there are vessels of honor, and there are also vessels of dishonor. And it says vessels of honor of silver and gold. Come on, those are, how many of you guys have china? Pastor Porsche and I, we were in Monterey, I don't know, and we went to a garage sale. We got some china. How many of you guys, I don't know when we're going to use the china, but you, how many of you guys have china that you just sit on the shelf and just never use it? You know what I'm talking about. And there's some silverware. And I said, Portia, when are we going to use this? And she said, well, maybe at Thanksgiving. I said, well, we use plastic at Thanksgiving. But anyhow, in this passage, it says, in a house of honor, there are vessels of gold and silver. And then there are also vessels of wood and clay. And he says, whoever cleanses themselves. Now, it doesn't say God doesn't do the cleansing. It says you do the cleansing. You depart from iniquity. You depart. Somebody says, I just need God to deliver me. Well, help yourself and just stop doing it. Okay? God will deliver you, but you got to pardon. But it says this. It says, the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows those that are his. Whoever names the name of Christ departs from iniquity, because why? We all are called to be vessels of honor. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm a vessel of honor. I'm a vessel of honor in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Why? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. How many know that God is not going to... Okay, for instance, if I had... Let's say I had a teenage son again. Let's just say Jeremiah. I'm not going to give Jeremiah the keys to the Lamborghini when Jeremiah may go out and wreck that Lamborghini. I need Jeremiah to get a license and learn how to drive that. You say, Pastor Steve, why are you talking? Well, somebody donated a Lamborghini to the church. If you want to buy it, I'll say a Maserati. Thank you, sir, if you're watching. But somebody did. They donated to our church a Maserati, and we're going to sell it, and it's just going to go help with the church, whatever. But if you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you. I'll give you a deal. Anyhow, you don't want that Maserati anyway. But my point being is that Monty wants the Maserati. I told Monty, you can't have it, Monty. But anyhow... Why? Because that Maserati is a vessel of honor. Okay, it's not a Pinto, a Ford Pinto. Now, if you ever had a Ford Pinto, Lord bless you. But back in the day, you know what I'm talking about. And so why? Because God wants to give his glory and his splendor and his strength. He's going to display it through vessels of honor, not vessels of dishonor. He's going to use it. He's going to use us in life, because his holiness, his word, his spirit, his anointing, it's something that is precious. It's something that cost him everything. It cost him his son. It cost him his son. to die on that cross. And so the preciousness of the blood and the anointing is not something, the holiness of God is not something that we take lightly. And that's why it says for us to be careful how we live in our house and say, I want to be a vessel of honor. Can you just say that, Lord? Make me a vessel of honor. Make me a vessel of honor. Cleanse me. So now, back to this verse, and I'll end here. I don't know if Portia or Kalila, one of the singers, wants to come, but I'll end with this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with lying and phoniness or deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, all unkind speech. And it says, like a newborn baby, you must crave or desire spiritual milk so that you can grow into the full experience of your salvation. Jesus, help us. I read a verse in scripture that scared me. Have you guys ever read a verse in? How many know it's in the Old Testament? I believe it's in the book of Numbers. But the people of Israel, they were so... Actually, it's somewhere in the Bible. Just put it in. It's in there. It's in there. My mind is. I got like five different scriptures going through my head. I think it's in Exodus. But the people came out and they started to complain to Moses, and they were like, Moses, you know what? It would have been better for us to be back slaves in Egypt. And they were like, you know what, Moses? Why don't you give us some meat to eat? They were like, we're hungry, Moses. We want some. We're tired of this little nasty bread called manna. They're like, we want some ribs. We want some meat. We want some chicken. They started to get mad at Moses. They were like, you know what? And they started to come against Moses, and they started to come against God because they didn't like what God was serving. And God says, okay, you want meat? I'll give you meat. And it says that he gave them so much meat, it came up to their knees. It came up and Moses doubted. Moses doubted God. He was like, God, how are you going to do that? How are you going to feed everybody? And God says to Moses, he says, is my arm shortened that I can't do what I say I'm going to do? Like, God put Moses in check. He was like, Moses, you better, this is God speaking. He says, is my arm shortened? Come on, we have to tell ourselves, is God's arm shortened that he still can't do what he says? And so it says that he gave them so much food, so much meat, that the valley became a place of cursing. It was called the valley of craving. Say, I better watch what I'm craving. Come on, it says, because if you crave something so much, whatever it is, and it could be natural food, it could be nasty food, it could be some sexual food, it could be unholy food, it could be something that you want to eat so much that you come to God and say, God, I want this. I really want this. God says, I'll give it to you, but it will become death to you. And it says that they ate so much meat that it was called the valley of loathing. They were like, we don't want it. We don't want it. So some things that we think we want and we need. And so the verse says here, what? To desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow into the full experience of your salvation. It says, cry out for this nourishment. Come on, have you cried out? When was the last time you and I says, Lord, put a fresh cry in my spirit. I'm dry. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. It says, cry out for this nourishment now that you have tasted that the Lord is good and he's kind. It says you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Can you all stand to your feet right now? And just lift your hands. Frank, just go ahead and pray. Just say, Lord, thank you that you're building me up. You're building up my spiritual temple today. Lord, that I would be a living stone, that even as your word says, that I am a lively stone. Lord, you're building me up, Lord, that I'm part of a spiritual company of people. How many know that the church of God is a spiritual company of people? It's not just Encounter Church that's gathering today. How many know that there are thousands and millions of people around the world that make up the body of Christ? And it says that his body, his church, his house is a kingdom. We're a kingdom of priests that were called to be lively stones that make up the spiritual house of God. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you today that you've called us to be holy priests, to offer spiritual sacrifices that please you. Lord, you're the stone that makes people stumble. You're the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word and they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, but now you are God's people. Once you didn't have mercy, but now you have received his mercy. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for building me up. Thank you for building up my temple. Thank you for building up my habitation today. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit EncounterJesus.us or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.